This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 16. We want to pick it up at verse 16 this afternoon. Jesus is instructing his disciples and preparing them for his soon departure, as he is it's getting close to when he's going to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot and tried wrongfully by the Sanhedrin and priests, as well as by the Roman government, and ultimately being crucified, and then buried, and then rising again, and going back to the Father in heaven. This afternoon's discussion is beginning at chapter 16, where he once again talks to them about his departure. And we'd like to read beginning at verse 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me? And because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I shall see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be made full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again, and I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered and said unto them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is bow and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to understand the things that Jesus was explaining to the disciples, and as you've recorded these for us as well, that we may understand the great mystery of salvation and the need of your coming, but also the need of your returning to the Father. And Father, I pray that you just help us to gain wisdom and knowledge this afternoon from your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he talks to them, and he talks first in a proverb where he doesn't really say it clearly. And the disciples are having a difficult time understanding, where he's saying, a little while and I'm leave you, but a little while and I'll be with you. And they're going, what is he talking about? This little while I'll leave you, and a little while I'll be with you, or you'll be with me. And what does it mean? And it's amazing. As often times the disciples did, they'd question amongst themselves, but Jesus knew what their questions were, even though they didn't speak and come and talk to him. Remember when they were on their way back from the Galilee and they were discussing amongst themselves who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus knew that that was the thing that they were discussing, and he talked to them about that topic at that time. He also, on other occasions, knew what they were thinking before they shared it with him. And that is the case here. And you can imagine the disciples, their concern, and they're really, they're wanting to understand, but really the confusion that may have been there, because he had already told them that he was going to leave and go and prepare a place for them and come back for them, and they couldn't understand why he had to leave. Remember, they'd been watching and walking with Jesus for 3 years. They'd seen him preach and teach like no other man had ever taught before. They've seen the miracles he's done. They've seen the casting out of the demons, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead. They've seen all of these things. They've seen him stand up for righteousness and holiness against the unrighteous and unholy priests of the temple, and cast them out and condemn them for their action. And they've seen him do all of these things. And yet, he's telling them, I have to go. And why does he have to go? And they're concerned about that. And they're concerned about what's going to happen. And they're confused at his words. And so Jesus is going to share with them and share with us what they mean. Let's begin at verse 20 where he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Now I want you to understand that this is a common reaction when the world thinks that they've gained victory over Christ and gained victory over his principles and what he stands for. They rejoice. And people, the Christians, lament as they see the wickedness appearing to prevail. The greatest incident of this was about to transpire, and he's telling them that they're going to lament, and they're going to be filled with great grief and weep and lament because of what is going to happen. It's going to appear that Satan has won the victory. It's going to appear that the wicked rulers have won and gained the victory. If you can imagine what is going to transpire in about just a few hours from this discussion going on, there would be lamenting among the disciples because they thought, they'd seen Jesus, like I said, drive out the money changers from the temple, condemn the priests, condemn the Pharisees for their ungodliness, and now it was going to appear that they had victory over him, because not only were they going to take him into captivity and beat him, they were also going to turn him over to Pilate, who would crucify him, put him to death. And it would seem that they had gained the victory. Oftentimes, we need to remember what the Lord has said about all the events that will happen even as we're living, and don't lament and become discouraged and despondent as it appears that Satan is winning, because the Lord has told us these things would happen. Just as he told the disciples, this is what's going to happen. You're going to lament, but don't worry. I have overcome the world. And likewise, he has overcome the world on our behalf as well. And the day in which we love, even though it appears at times that Satan is gaining the victory, he has overcome Satan and won that victory at Calvary. And he talks about, he once again gives the example that he gave them, the same example that he gave when he talked to the disciples about signs of his coming, where it talks about the birth pains of a woman and a woman going into labor. I've never been in labor, but my wife has, and she'd be able to tell you what it was like. It wasn't pleasant by any means, pain. And the pain intensified as the baby is drawing nearer. to deliver it. And he's saying that there are going to be birth pangs, and he gives that example. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. And oftentimes, I'm sure it's going through a lot of women's mind is, why did I ever have this happen to me, that I have a baby, that I have to go through this pain? I don't want to do this. And that's what he's saying here, that the same type of the pain that they've experienced at the birth of a child is the same type of pain that they're going to experience, and it's going to appear that it's never going to stop, but there's coming an end to it. And at the end of the pain comes joy. At the end of the birth pangs comes the birth of the child, and the child means everything to the mother. And if it didn't, there would only be one child per family. You'd never have more than one baby. But the thing is, we see here that joy comes with the birth, and that when the mother is given the baby to hold, and she sees that new life she has brought into this world, there's great joy that comes. He's saying the same thing is going to happen with the disciples when he rises from the dead and goes back to the Father, and they see the victory is really won on by him. And even though persecution has come and to him, and persecution will come to them, he has gained the victory, and they should be filled with joy. Likewise, the joy should be ours. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And I want you to understand that men cannot take the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with the Lord from you. They may persecute you, they may even martyr you, but they cannot take the joy of Jesus from your heart. And they can take things from us, they can take our health, they can take all kinds of things, but they can't take the Lord. And that's what he's saying here, the joy shall remain. And then he has another verily, verily in verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, will he give it to you. And we're going to see that the disciples are going to see some tremendous things done as they go to the Lord and ask on behalf of Jesus, that the gospel goes forth, that they may proclaim the gospel message to those that haven't heard it. And, for example, you think of the Apostle Paul. He wasn't here to hear those words, but yet he partook of that statement. And that when he gave his life to Christ, God told him, I'm going to make you an apostle amongst the Gentiles. You will be the one that will take the message to the main person that will take the message to the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul prayed, and he prayed earnestly and continually that God would use him amongst the Gentiles. And God used him throughout all of what we would refer to as Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, that whole region, up into Greece, over into Italy, and also, it's recorded in Scripture, he made it as far as Spain, all in seeking to do God's will and calling on the name of the Lord to open doors for him. And God opened doors as he asked that it be done, not for his sake, but for the sake of Jesus' name going forth, and people would come to follow Christ. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. And then really the disciples had not. They hadn't asked that they would have anyone healed. They would bring people to Jesus, but they didn't ask themselves. But he says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy be made full. And the thing is, we need to look at how we should pray that our joy may be full. What is he saying? What is the equation of having a joy that is complete? It's doing the will of God, and doing the will of God, we ask the Lord to use us for his glory and the preaching of the gospel, as well as that his name would be honored in the things we do. And when we ask those things, our joy is made complete as we see the gospel go forward. We attended the prophecy conference in Winnipeg for over 20 years, and Rob Lindstedt was there just about every one of those years speaking. One of the things that brought real joy to Rob was to take the gospel to various countries, and he would take Bibles. He during the Olympics when they were in China, he made a great effort to get a whole bunch of Bibles into China during that particular period of time. He had a mission in Burma with schools where the Word of God was taught to young people as well as they were given an education. He had done work in other portions of the world, and every time he would come, he would just be bubbling to tell us all what was happening in these various ministry areas that he had. He had real joy in seeing the Lord working in people's lives. And he'd tell us how you could never, ever go up to a parent and really sit down and have a conversation with them about the gospel, because in Burma, for example, but yet they would come, send their kids to the school, their kids would hear the gospel message, they'd take their homework home, and their own children would be teaching them about Jesus. And they'd seen people saved, they'd seen families saved through that method. And he was just excited about it. And that excitement spilled over into those that heard about it, and there was literally thousands of dollars given to help him with those ministries, and to hear how God would use that money to touch people's lives with the gospel message, and people's joy was filled as they saw God working and doing those mighty things. That is how our joy is filled in asking the Lord. It's not asking the Lord, give me a better position, give me more money, give me a better house, give me a nicer car, but it's asking the Lord for that his name would be going forth, and asking in the name of Jesus that his will would be done in our lives, and that is how our joy is made complete. These things have I spoken unto you in a proverb, but the time cometh when I no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Okay, and so then Jesus makes it more clear. He doesn't speak in a proverb. He makes it more clear and states it specifically for them what he's saying. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. And so he says, first of all, I'm going to the Father, that then when I'm in the Father's presence, I'll pray on your behalf. And for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. And so we see that as you love Jesus, God the Father loves you. And why is that? Because Jesus paid it all so that you could be brought into the presence of the Father, that you could be redeemed and saved, forgiven of your sins, declared righteous before the throne of God, and you are honoring what Jesus sacrificially gave on your behalf, and that pleases God. And because that is what they determined before the foundations of the world, that you could be redeemed. I came forth from the Father and come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And so Jesus is once again explaining to them that he will not be staying with them, but he's going back to the Father. He said another reason that he's doing that is so they can intercede on their behalf, and that they can ask and see things accomplished. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. They understood now what he was saying. Before, they were struggling with it, and they realized now that he is going to leave them, he is going to depart from this world, but there's coming a day where they will see him again. And now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And because he knows all things, even knowing the fact that they were inquiring about his earlier statements and not understanding them, they understood that he knows all things, and only God knows all things. He came from the Father. He must return to the Father. The Father and he, as he's declared on more than one occasion, are one. They are one God. And Jesus answered and said, "Do you now believe?" And that's the question that he asked. And it's a question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves. Do we really believe that the words of Christ that he's saying, that he's gone to the Father to intercede on our behalf, that if we ask on his in his name, it shall be accomplished, the Father shall do it, not for our sake, but for his Son's sake. And he says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man, to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And so he's also, once again, telling them what the events in the near future are going to mean, and we see that that's exactly what happened. They all were scattered, they left him, and even those that kind of hung around, like Peter, they denied him, Peter denied him, and we see that they weren't there to be with him, but he says, "The Father is with me." And just as the same thing is true for us, in that the Lord is always with us, and that even though we may feel that others have deserted us, God remains with his people, just as he was with his Son. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace." Now, they were troubled because of what Jesus had been telling them, and he says, "No, peace is what you need. And I'm telling you this, I will have gained the victory. I will go to the Father. You shall accomplish what I have set forth to accomplish. You shall ask and it will be done. And you don't have to worry. You don't have to be distressed, but have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so he's not saying they're not going to be without struggles, because they will. And just like we will, he's not saying that we will not be without struggles, because we will. If you take a stand for Jesus, especially in a world that is becoming more and more ungodly, there will be tribulation, because you're going to be at odds with the spirit of the age and the God of this world. And he says there's tribulation, there's turmoil. But he has overcome the world, so we don't have to fear. And we don't have to, we can have this peace that he speaks about. And so in looking at this, so the real lesson that we need to learn is that Jesus understands the struggles that we will endure. And he understands the turmoil that we will face if we stay true to him. But he wants us to understand that ours is to be a life that is filled with joy, as a woman has joy when she delivers her child, and ours is to be filled with peace, even as he has peace, as he's gone to be with the Father. And so the joy and peace are to be the marks of a Christian's life, as they were to be the marks of his disciples. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to understand that we are to have your joy, we are to have your peace, and it's not because of the things we have accomplished, but it's because what you have done, and that you have overcome the world. And Lord, you have given to us the victory. And Lord, now I pray that you would just help us to go forth in the week ahead and seek to be used by you to proclaim the truth of your word and to show your peace and your joy in our lives, even as all this craziness is going on in our world today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn to 510, 510.